Welcome to the 4 Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Wednesday, the 27th of February, recording at 8:14 p.m., and that's Greenwich Mean Time. Well, it's choppy action, isn't it? Some interesting developments here today. Never a dull moment in these markets, is there? But we had reasonable gains occurring in the Asian Pacific markets overall, far more of them up than down in here today. And that includes China, although Japan was a little bit easier while the yen still remains steady overall. And what we also have seen, which is a gratifyingly strong rally here by the European stock markets. Now, they've had to weather weather the Italian election, and they had been really leaders to the downside during this, what I refer to mostly as a sort of corrective and consolidation phase. But some good rallies here today, with a number of the indices up close to 2%. Those include the CAC 40, the Euro Stoxx 50, the Spanish IBEX, the Italian MIB index, and other gains really across the boards, affecting all of the European markets. Now, we've also got an extremely important, extremely strong performance on Wall Street here today. And that's really very interesting. Now, what we see at the moment, and okay, we've got 45 minutes to the close, but I'd be very surprised if Wall Street coughed up most of these gains. We've got the Dow back up to 1485. That's up 185 points, so 1.33%. You got the NASDAQ currently up 20, that's at 1517 and change, up 1.37%. That's the S&P, up 20 points. We've got the NASDAQ up 45 points, nearly 46 points, up 1.5% overall. And the other America's markets mostly firmer as well. Now, let's stay with stocks here for a moment. As I've been looking through the charts here today, we have seen, of course, China fall. That had taken, not today, but China has fallen in the last couple of weeks. Also, we've seen Japan wobble a little bit here today, and we've seen Vietnam come down. Now, those were the three main recovery markets within the Asian region, and they had phenomenal gains. If you take that period from approximately November, early December, right through into February, very, very powerful gains. So they're due for reactions and consolidations overall. Each of them is quite different. I'll spend most of the time here on Japan and China and discussing them. China has unnerved investors a little bit because it's introduced this effort to rein in property speculation once again. This has been a problem for China for a number of years now, and it's not going away. The situation is not easier to handle with two decennial regimes still currently dividing up the up the power. In other words, the outgoing boys haven't completely given up power by any means here yet. This is all part of their normal procedure. It's nothing's being contested, but it makes it harder for the incoming regime to set its own agenda. So there's a little bit of nervousness as to whether they can China can actually limit these financial moves against speculators to just speculators. And what people were hoping for before the announcement against the announcements against speculators was that we would see more stimulative measures from China. Now, that may well be the case. I think logically it will be the case. But again, two different regimes, we need a spokesman to step forward and clear this up to steady these markets. So I would expect this reaction and consolidation phase to continue here for a while longer. And if we pull back a bit further, I think that'll create another buying opportunity for the medium term. Now, Japan is extremely interesting. That's held up best of the three that I've mentioned here so far. But it's a little bit vulnerable here in the short term because the yen has given up some ground, as you know, against the U.S. dollar. Well, the U.S. dollar is currently trading at 92.23 yen, and you know the highs for the dollar against the yen were up close to the 95 level. So we've seen a loss of upside momentum, and we also had an upside failure by the Nikkei 225 index this week. So it wouldn't be surprising to see a bit more ranging and a pullback. I think if we were to get a decent pullback, say the same size that China and Vietnam have seen, my feeling is that would be an excellent buying opportunity for Japan, and I will give the Shinzo Abe program the benefit of the doubt as long as he remains very popular in the opinion polls. And if that remains the case, then I think he'll be firmly in charge of the actual agenda, which will be to, of course, weaken the yen somewhat further as part of the stimulative measures. It'd be wise to do it at a slower rate, so not to alarm other countries that much. And nor should they be alarmed, because the yen has gone from being an extremely overvalued currency relative to the other currencies, which have been devaluing, to a less overvalued currency overall. But the important point for investors is that the earnings increased potential particularly for Japan's exporters is dramatic. If we see continued weakness of the yen over the medium term, as I think we're quite likely to see. Now, I also want to mention the USA because it's seeing such a strong performance in here today. And I think there are basically four primary factors here. And I would just say that it's reassuring to see the U.S. holding up as well as it actually is. Because that, although that downward dynamic on Monday unnerved people, understandably, but that's virtually been offset by the rally that we saw yesterday, and particularly in here today. But there are four arrows here in favor of the U.S. And one is Mr. Bernanke's QE, which is going to remain a tailwind while it lasts. Now, if they talk too openly about removing QE or talk about when QE might end or should end, then investors clearly get nervous, as we have already seen recently. But we've had statements reaffirming the commitment to the QE overall. So number one is Bernanke's QE, which is certainly going to last for a while longer. Second factor used to be what we called export earnings, and that description is no longer adequate because these global players in terms of globalization have their offices and outlooks all over the globe. And particularly among NASDAQ index companies, which have had such a dramatic increase in overseas earnings thanks to globalization, which the United States has played very, very effectively. Now, the USA also has a significant domestic energy price advantage for manufacturers. And that's particularly beneficial for the companies that produce capital goods. And then the fourth item, something that I mention from time to time, is the accelerating boom in all forms of technology. Now, technology is a field in which the U.S. still mostly leads. So that's hugely positive for particularly for these, well, I was going to say particularly for these big, more complex organizations, but we all use it, don't we? Old Fuller over here is still struggling to keep up with the technology, but I'm very grateful for it. And those factors have kept the various U.S. indices, the Dow, the NASDAQ, the S&P, in transports, utilities, all quite firm within ranges overall. And the Dow and the S&P are challenging their 2007 top areas. And the S&P, I beg your pardon, the Dow isn't far from a move above that 2007 high. And of course, the NASDAQ did that some time ago. And that's despite the setback that we have seen in Apple Computer, which has held up its performance somewhat recently. So interesting story there, but I would keep a close eye on the lower side of these ranges, and I posted those charts here today because when we see those various different indices break to the downside, it's not guaranteed, of course, but there's a good chance that it will. I think that this correct what I've described as this corrective and consolidation phase is likely to last for at least a few more weeks and possibly several more months. And overall, I'm hopeful that this will remain a positive actual development. That's my view overall. So it'll look more like a normal reaction and consolidation phase, something that we haven't seen all that much of in recent years. We've tended to have some of these more scary drops. But there's more confidence in the markets here today, and I think it's justified, as Owen and I have said all along. Now, what about global bonds? When we had such weakness in stock markets on Monday, particularly in the US, bond prices were shooting upwards, but they've eased back a little bit in here. I think they'll today, and they will take their cue from stock markets overall. In terms of the big view, I think this is a dangerous level for long-dated government bond prices. And people are content to sit with these positions for understandable reasons in terms of total return, and those gains are not being eroded too much when you add in the yields as well. But the yields aren't all that much, and when you get a more widespread decision to move away from bonds, and whether that happens this year or next year or the year after, that's a big risk because we'll get everybody crowding to the towards the exit, everybody moving towards the exit at the same time. That's my biggest concern, but that's somewhere ahead of us. We don't have to worry about that now. Just like I don't think we need to worry about the end of QE just yet. That's sometime ahead of us as well. Now, the strength of the U.S. dollar. It's eased a little bit in here today, and you know, the strong U.S. dollar is just a classic sign that we're in a somewhat more nervous environment for stock markets overall. It's a safe haven advantage in the highly liquid U.S. dollar, and people do it out of habit as much as anything else. Now, in precious metals, we had that consecutive day gain in gold, which pushed upwards to the upper side of that large trading range that you will probably be familiar with. I'm just bringing up a chart of this, so I'll pin it down more specifically in terms of when that actually occurred. It was that trading range that we saw really between May, after dipping down to a May low, slightly below the lows that we saw at the low point here last week. The higher side of that range was in the sort of 1630 to 1640 region. And so we pulled up close to that yesterday. And gold's falling back here today. I think given some of the nervousness that we've seen recently, it would be a bit much to expect it to go up back up in a straight line. More likely we see it pull back and either reconfirm support, as I suspect would be the case, or not, in which case the bearish forces would reassert. But really, in the short term, we had a big accelerated sell-off, very oversold condition. The good bounce clearly indicates that there's scope for short covering and some renewed buying down at that level. I wouldn't be surprised if we see gold ranging back and forth between this approximately 1625 to 1550 region for a while longer. Now, silver is easier today. Palladium's up a bit. Platinum's fallen back just below the 1600 level. It's down 18 as I speak. And that's pretty much it on an interesting, albeit choppy day. All the best to all of you.